Tonight, Daniel chapter number 12. Daniel chapter number 12. I want to talk to you about being truly wise tonight. You know, in order for us to make it in this world, we're going to need to have a vision of the big picture. By that I mean, sometimes we sort of get under the burden, and things don't go so well at the moment. We're in a warfare, and if you're a Christian today, you are in a warfare, and we need the whole armor of God. The Apostle Paul said, if in this life only we have hope in Christ Jesus, we're of all men most miserable. I'm glad that our hope goes beyond this veil of tears down here. Amen. And tonight I want to talk to us about how wise it is for us to think about eternity and to really to work for eternity, to labor for eternity with being with the Lord, one day in heaven with the Lord in view. And that's the thing I believe that's going to get us through and keep us faithful. Daniel 12, verse number 1. At that time shall Michael stand up, the great prince, which standeth for the children of thy people, and there shall be a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time thy people shall be delivered, every one that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. And they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. I find my text in that verse, they that be wise. Let us pray. Father, speak to our hearts tonight and help us as your children to keep our focus upon you and what you have called on us to do and to be here in the world. Thank you for the music tonight and the singing and everything that's already been done, the offering, the giving, and the fellowship even before service. And now, Lord, I pray you would bless the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the testimony of an older man who had the deepest and the richest experience of any man living on the face of the earth at that time. He was taken down to Babylon when he was a young man. Some theologians estimate that he was probably not more than 20 years old, if he was even 20, maybe even a teenager, when he was taken from his home country as a captive and became a prisoner of war. We call them POWs now. But Daniel literally was a captive. He was a prisoner of this war. And if anyone had said that this young Hebrew would outrank all the mighty men of his day, probably no one would have believed it. But all the great men of that day were eclipsed by this young captive. And for 500 years, there was no man whose life was recorded in history shone as did this man. He outshone Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Cyrus, and Darius, and all the princes and the monarchs of his day. We're not told when he was converted. We have a good reason to believe that he might have sat under Jeremiah and heard his preaching. Evidently, some earnest, godly man and no worldly professor had made a great and deep impression upon this young man. Some godly person had taught him what it really meant to serve God, how he was to put God first in his life, and if he'd put God first in his life, then he's going to need to be different from the unbelievers around him. And certainly he's going to be different from the heathen into whose land now he has gone captive. We hear people today talking about it being hard to serve God. Think of how Daniel had it in his day. Think of the field that he labored in. He was held captive by a nation that detested the Jews. Their language was unknown to him. And yet he commenced to shine. He took his stand for God at once, and so he went on for his whole life. He gave the strength of his youth to God, and he continued faithful throughout his days on earth. You'll notice that all those who have made a deep impression on the world and have shone most brightly have been men who lived in a dark day. Joseph was sold as a slave into Egypt, and yet he took his God down there with him into Egypt. He did not give up his faith because he had been taken from his home and placed among idolaters. He stood firm for God, and God stood with him. Moses, think about Moses, who turned his back on the palaces of Egypt. If ever a man had a hard field of service, it was Moses. And yet, Moses shone brightly and proved faithful to the Lord. Elijah. Elijah lived in a far darker day than we do now. Sometimes we think that things are getting pretty dark and dismal, but we find that Elijah experienced a whole nation going into idolatry under Ahab and Queen Jezebel. They actually began killing the prophets of God and throwing their influence against the worship of God throughout the whole land. Jezebel even would have killed Elijah if she could have found him. And yet Elijah stood firm and shone brightly in that dark day, that evil day, and how his name stands out on the pages of history today as one who did not compromise but shone brightly for the Lord. John the Baptist appeared on the scene when everything was dark. 20 centuries have passed now, and the fame of that wilderness preacher shines brighter than ever. He was looked down on by the generation of his day, but he has outlived his enemies, and his name will be revered and remembered as long as the church exists and as long as God exists. John the Baptist has his head back on now, I promise you, and he's rejoicing around the throne of God. I believe that. Paul had a hard field. He was the first missionary to the heathen, to the Gentiles, and we see how he shone for God everywhere he went, telling them of the God that he served, who had sent his son, Jesus Christ, to die for mankind. Men reviled and laughed him to scorn. They beat him. They imprisoned him. But he went on preaching and teaching. He was regarded as a poor tent maker by great and mighty ones of his day. But now hardly anyone knows the name of his persecutors or those who lived at that time unless their names somehow happened to be associated with his. His is a great name. The fact is, men like to shine, don't they? In the business world, men struggle for that CEO position. They want to be up front. In the political world, they're having a great debate tonight, I understand. And I don't know how that's going to turn out, but I promise you everybody on that debate is going to try to outshine everybody else. It's going to be interesting to see how that goes down tonight. I'm sure we'll hear about it tomorrow. But in school, I mean, there's rivalry among the boys and the girls, and they want to be looked upon as the top of the class, and mama wants to be proud that her son made this position and outranks everybody else, and And you know, some make the dean's list, and some make the honor roll list, and some graduate valedictorian of her class. And and we have a lot of things that in which we put a lot of interest and notoriety. In the Army, we find the same thing. We find people of rank and position. And if someone serves well, then they're awarded different medals. And if someone is wounded, there's the Purple Heart that so many people cherish more than all the rest. In sports, there are the trophies, and there's the Olympic gold or silver or bronze that everybody strives for. So we all have that desire in us. We like to shine above our fellows, and we strive to be our best and to be better than the average. And it's really nice if we can be better than everybody else and just have that. How would you like to have your picture on a Kellogg's cornflakes box, huh? Right. Well, a lot of people like that. A lot of people like to have their picture on the front page of the paper. And yet there are very few who really shine in this world. Every 4 years we'll elect a president. The campaign becomes a hot battleground. Billions of money will... billions of dollars will change hands, but only one person gets the prize. But in the kingdom of God, the very weakest and the very least may shine if they will. They all may have the prize if they will. Passage does not say that statesmen are going to shine as the brightness of the firmament. The statesmen of Babylon are gone. Their very names are forgotten. Nobody knows who they were. It does not say that those of nobility are going to shine. They will soon be forgotten. John Bunyan was a tinker. Outlived his whole world of nobility. They live for self. Their memory is blotted out and gone. But John Bunyan lived for God and for souls, and his name still shines. His books are still being read. Merchants are not told that they're going to shine. Who can tell any millionaires or wealthy people of Daniel's day? They're buried in oblivion tonight. Wealth, just with all the millions, just doesn't make notoriety of a lasting sort. We hear of Nebuchadnezzar, but probably we would not have known much about him were his name not associated with that of Daniel. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Centuries pass, and the name of this faithful prophet shines on and on and on, brighter and brighter, and it'll shine as long as eternity. There have been great men in the past. We think about Napoleon, but his greatness was short-lived. But look at this Hebrew prophet. They wanted to put him to death in the lion's den, in the den of lions, because he was too sanctimonious. He was too religious. They forbade him to pray, and he says, I'll pray about it. And he went to his room, and the windows being open toward Jerusalem, he knelt on his knees and prayed 3 times a day like he did aforetime. He did not change his prayer life. He did not change his relationship to God when they said it was unlawful for him to make any petition of anybody but the king. That landed him in the den of lions. And yet, see how alive his memory is today as God honored him and honored that faithfulness. His name is loved and honored for faithfulness to God. In Proverbs, we read that great verse that we quote so often, he that winneth souls is wise. Proverbs 11, verse 30. If we are wise, we will live for God, and we will go outside ourselves. Our lives are not all about us. but we develop this burden for others. If any man, woman, or child, by a godly life and example, can win one soul to God, their life will not have been a failure. They will have outshone the mighty men of their days because they will have set a stream in motion that will flow on and on forever. Now, I didn't do the calculation, but I read this somewhere years ago, and I thought this was so astounding that I want to share it. But the mathematical computation was this: if one person per year in 20 years, there will have been 1,048,576 people won to Christ. Can you believe that? If just one person won one person per year, and that person won one person a year, and that person won one person a year. 20 years, over 1 million people. God has left us down here to shine. Before Christ ascended on high, he said to his disciples, "Ye are the light of the world." Now, what does light do? What does it do? It shines. Amen? "Ye are my witness," he said. "Go forth and carry the gospel to every creature, to all the perishing nations of this world." God has called us to shine just as much as Daniel was sent to Babylon to shine. Daniel probably didn't have much influence at first, but God gave him more as he used what he had. Remember, a small light will do a great deal in a dark place. The city of Chicago was set on fire. How? By a cow kicking over a lantern light one night. And I don't know if the estimate's correct. You people who have the internet and all of that may know exactly how many people died. I have heard 100,000 died that 100,000 were burned out of their houses and homes that night. I don't know how many people died, but 100,000 burned out of house and home. Don't let Satan get advantage over you by telling you that because you can't do anything great, you can't do anything at all. You can do something. God is looking for somebody who has a willing heart. If you've got a willing heart, God can use you, I promise you. Remember, we are to let our light shine, not make it shine. We don't have to make it, we just let it shine. I heard of a man who was out at sea, got seasick. And if there's ever a time when a man doesn't feel like doing a work for God, I would think it's when he's throwing up. Sick as a dog on a boat, seasick. I hear that's about the worst sickness you can ever have. Anybody ever been seasick here? Am I telling it right? It's bad. You're not thinking much about doing God's work while you're feeding the fish. Is that right? But anyway, this man was sick. And he heard that someone had fallen overboard, and he was wondering if there was anything really he could do to help. And so he took hold of a light and he held it up to the porthole in the ship. That drowning man was rescued that night. And the man that's holding the light got over his seasickness. And one day they were sitting around talking to the man who was rescued, and he gave this testimony. He said he had gone down the second time and was just about to go down again for the last time when he put out his hand. And just then, somebody held a light at the porthole of the ship, and the light fell on my hand. And a sailor saw it and caught my hand and pulled me into the lifeboat. Seemed like a very small thing to do, to just hold up a light, and yet it saved a man's life. Amen. You can hold up the light for some wayfaring stranger. You can hold up the light for a friend. You can hold up the light for a family member. You can go into homes that are dark and let your light shine, holding forth the light of the precious gospel of Jesus Christ. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if somebody would just reach out a hand to others in that effort to bring them from the same pit that you were in? We are rescued. I believe it was Moody who said that he viewed this world as a ship that was sinking. And he said, it's as though the Lord said, "Mr. Moody, I'm going to give you a lifeboat. And the world is sinking, but I want you to save all you can." And that's what we do, isn't it? We're saving all we can. A blind man was sitting on the corner with a lantern by his side, and somebody asked, "Well, why you got the lantern there? You're blind." And he said, "So somebody won't stumble over me." And so we need to think about that. While one man may read the Bible, there are hundreds of people who read you and me. Paul says we are living epistles known and read of all men. A man who is not tenderhearted and kind and who has no sympathy is not even a good citizen, much less a good Christian. But friend, if we do not commend the gospel to people by our daily walk and by our holy walk and conversation, we will not win anyone to Jesus Christ. One act of kindness, one word of witness, may turn the light on for somebody and may do more than even a long sermon sitting in church. But a lot of these people out walking the streets now and in the stores and the workplace, a lot of them may never come to church. And the only Bible they'll ever read will be you. So you can be a witness, and you can start a stream flowing that will flow on forever if you can win one soul to Jesus Christ. Let us have our loins girt about and our lights burning so that others may see and not walk in darkness. Keep the lights in place so that the world may see that Christianity is not a sham. It's a reality. Let your light shine. It's not to be hid, but placed on a candlestick and giving light to everyone around. Some may need your torch lit anew. I know that sometimes the torch goes out in these Grecian games and they have to light it again. Some may have been involved in witnessing and visiting and soul winning, and they may have let up a little bit, but you can start that stream to flowing again. Win somebody to Christ. Go to the mountains. You see that little fountain that's bubbling out of the side of the mountain? You follow that little fountain, that little trickle down the mountain, and before long it becomes a little brook. Then it becomes a larger brook. And then it becomes a little river. And then it becomes a great river flowing all the way to the ocean. Along the banks of that river, there are cities built, vegetation flourishing. If you turn one person to Christ, that one may turn hundreds. In Revelation I read, "I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, Write, Blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth, yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Many in Scripture of whom it is said only that they lived and died. There are many like that. That's all we know about them. They just lived and they died. There are many today of whom that could be written in this very hour. They lived and they died. But there is one thing you cannot bury with a good man, and that is his influence. They've not buried Daniel yet. His influence is as great today as it ever has been. Joseph, Paul, John Bunyan, Moody, Whitfield, Spurgeon. These are people living on. These men live for something other than themselves. And tonight their memory will never die. I will tell you who are dead. The memories of the enemies of those servants of God, those who persecuted them, those who slandered them. But you know what? God's people still shine. They that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. And so let us turn as many to righteousness as we can, and let us be dead to the world and its ambitions and its pleasures. Let's be alive unto God. Dr. Chalmers said this, thousands of men breathe, they move, they live, they pass off the stage of action in life and are heard of no more. Why? Why? Because none were blessed by them. None could point to them as the means of their redemption. Not a line they wrote, not a word they spoke shall be recalled, and so they perished. Their light went out in obscure darkness. They're not remembered more than the insects of yesterday. Should we live and die like that? I hope not. I hope not. Let's go on, turning as many as we can to righteousness. Let us live for God and continually going forth to win precious souls for Him. Let us live with purpose and meaning in our lives. Live for Jesus. Do good. Be a faithful witness and leave behind you a monument of virtue that the storms of time can never destroy. Write your name in kindness. Write your name in love. Write your name in mercy. Write your name on the hearts of the thousands that you come in contact with year by year, and you will never be forgotten. You will never be forgotten here, and you will never be forgotten in eternity. Your name and your deeds will be remembered, and you shall shine as the firmament and as the stars forever. This is the promise of a God who cannot lie. And think of this too. I've said it already. But if we can lead only one soul to Jesus Christ, we may set a stream in motion that will flow on even after we are dead and gone. I want the witness of Christ to continue on even when my carcass is lying out in the graveyard somewhere. I sure want the gospel to continue to be preached. I want somebody to stand behind the sacred desk with a burden for Jesus Christ and continue to preach the gospel till Jesus comes. I'd like to go up in the rapture. I'd like for Jesus to come before I went by way of the grave. I've seen too many people die. I don't relish going to heaven that way, but if it's God's will, then that's the way I'll go. I just pray, Lord, your will be done. But just to know that the work of the Lord is going on, and that one that I win to Christ may win 100, and that 100 may win 1,000, and the work may go on, and the reward at the end of the way. The Bible says we're going to be rewarded according to our works. There is one thing you can't bury with a man. Same is true of a woman. You cannot bury their influence. No, they haven't buried Daniel yet. He's still alive in his influence and in his word and his inspiration. His influence lives and will continue to live on and on and on as long as this book right here is preached and taught throughout the world. Daniel will still be alive. And the message that he leaves us, listen, you may bury this frail tenement of clay that a good man lives in, but you cannot get rid of his influence and his example. Paul was never more powerful than he is today. I call upon you tonight to remember verse number 3 that tells us that they that be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many to righteousness as the stars forever and ever. Amen. You want to shine? God's given you an opportunity to shine as you labor and minister for Him. Let us pray. Father, I pray tonight that we'll go forth from this place as shining lights, just letting our light shine for you. And Lord Jesus, may your Holy Spirit light up our lives so that everywhere we go, people will take note that we've been with Jesus, that we're a different sort of people. We're a little bit peculiar, but we're a whole lot unlike the world. Oh God, help us tonight to be wise and to set about this goal in our lives of witnessing and turning many to righteousness. And Lord, thank you for the reward that you've promised at the end of the way. In Jesus' name.